to the stage now. So let's give him a hand as we take our seats.
Hey, give the creative team a hand as they take a seat. Brilliant. Thank you, Box. You may be seated. Turn the person next to you to say, you honestly have never looked better. What a gorgeous service leader we had, don't you think? Are you doing well? Got a topic on my heart this morning, and the title is Bringers. Everyone say Bringers. You can say it with American accent, Bringers. Sounds better. You know, there was a survey done in America. When it comes to churches, most surveys that you find are ones that come out of America. So I'm going to have to share that. So we're a little bit different here in Australia. We're not massively different because we are a Western culture, but it's a little bit different. And this is a survey they did around the topic of how people come to know Christ. How did it happen for them? What went down? And it says that 1 to 2% of people that came to know Christ were people with special needs, healing, special needs. They came to look for that, which is a little bit discouraging because obviously here in the church we need to have a greater revelation on healing. But the reality is that's how people come to Christ. Only 1 to 2% came through that doorway. 2 to 3% just walk in. They walk past the church and they decide to come, or they just decide that today is the day that they need to go to church. They wake up one morning and they decide to go, and they go to the local church and they walk through the door, and that's how they get there. We've actually had that. We've had some people, how'd you get here? We just walked in. And that's just the way it is. But it's only 1 to 2%. Sorry, 2 to 3%. The next one is 5 to 6% are drawn by a ministry or special ministry or a guest speaker. So you could have a guest speaker or something out there, and some people hear about it and they're drawn to hear, to find out what that's all about, and they decide to be in church. Are you still with me? The next one is 2 to 3%. They liked a church program. So they heard about a youth group, or they heard about some program within a church, and they decided to come and check out that program, and that brought them into the house of God, that brought them in to church. The next one is 1 to 2% responded as a visitation by a door knock. 1 to 2%. Now, I got door knocked yesterday by the JWs. Isn't that beautiful? Two guys came up the stairs, knocked on the door. There they were in front of me. And, you know, they were nice guys. The funny thing was, they knocked on the door and I introduced myself and they introduced themselves. And I said to them, hey, guys, I'm a pastor in the church. And it's almost like they just didn't hear me. Because then they just launched into this spiel. And I'm listening to it and they go, do you know anything about Jesus? You know, and I'm like, it was funny. It was like a disconnect. You know what I mean? I love their hearts, but it was a disconnect. And then they kept on going. And I said, oh, I'm actually a pastor in a local church. And they kept on going. It was a young guy. He was obviously nervous. And then there was an older guy with him. And I think the older guy finally got to a point where he said, And he asked me some questions, and he asked me about the Lord's Prayer, and he said, "Do you know the Lord's Prayer?" And I said, "I'm a pastor." I said, "Yeah, I do. Oh Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He goes, "Yes." He said, "Yes, you know it." I'm like, "Yeah, I said I'm a pastor." And then he said to me, he said that word hallowed, and he went on for about 5 minutes about the word hallowed, which is like great as his name. And I looked at him, okay, didn't quite get. And then I said something, and he said, "So, you know, do you understand?" I said, yeah. "The name of God is beautiful, and it's great, and it's powerful, and it can be proclaimed in many ways." And he said, "Oh, good. Thank you for your time. Bye." And he just walked off. I'm like, okay, anyway. So anyway, 1% to 2% is door knocking. So doesn't mean, you know, if you've got a heart to do that, go for it. 4% to 5% is Sunday school. 4% to 5%. Great kids program. People that have been through a kids program, you know, I've been a part of a church before that bus kids in from a local community. And it was great. We'd fill up a couple of buses and bring them in. And, you know, their parents would just let them come. Some of these areas, the parents don't know where the kids are, but we would door knock and tell the parents about a great program. And there were parents standing with their kids and let them go. Quite a few parents would come and check out the program before they got there. But a great opportunity with kids. So what we got upstairs going on is very important. The next one is 5% evangelism events. 5%. So that's a letterbox drop or some big evangelistic event that attracts people. So that draws about 5%. But you want to know what the big figure is? 75% of people that came to Christ came because someone brought them. 75%. Is it cold in here? Can someone go turn the aircon off? Who's cold? I just see a lot of people rubbing themselves. I mean, I'm fine. I mean, we're boys. We're hot. We, you know, it's just the way it is. We're okay, but there's girls rubbing themselves. There's people putting on jackets. There's someone about getting blankets from cars. Someone over there with a thermal blanket. Let's just turn the aircon off. 75% of people that came to Christ, came to church, came to know God through, were brought by someone. That's amazing, isn't it? Just think about that. That's a big figure. That's a figure you can't ignore. That's something, there's an average stat. No, that's huge. And that's America. But do you know what? I don't think that's any different here in Australia. I think it's something that we need to realize is big. See, the Bible backs it up with a strong emphasis on people being brought into the kingdom, being brought into church. And if we look through the scriptures, we actually see that they were brought to Jesus. People were just bringing people to Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Let me just read this one to you. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick and who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them." Are you with me? You've got to actually understand, when Jesus walked this earth, he wasn't actually known for his salvation. He was actually known more for his healing. Do you understand that? Because it sort of all happened after his cross in terms of who he was. Are you with me? So they were attracted to, they had needs and they were attracted to him. But people came and they brought their friends and everyone rushed in, and people would bring people to Jesus. Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed who were sick. Matthew 9, verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son of God, cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Matthew 14, 35 to 36, when the man of the place recognized him and they sent out into all that surrounding region, they brought to him all who were sick. You see, when people recognized who Jesus was, they brought all their friends. They brought anyone that had a need. They were, you know what? I need to bring whoever is around me. John chapter 1, verse 40. It says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And I love this guy because he's a typical guy. Andrew is a typical man. And as soon as he found about Christ, he went around and found his brother and brought his brother straight away. He got him straight into the house of God. He got him straight to know Christ. He connected him with Christ immediately. He wasn't just an inviter. He was a bringer. And I love this guy, Andrew, because he was an average person. Now, I want to talk about bringings. You see, quite often when it comes to seeing people come to know Christ, we think we've got to be evangelists. We think we've actually got to be people that are really profound with explaining the gospel. If you're good at that, that's great. But most people aren't that good at explaining the gospel well. Are you with me? I think we should. And I've given you a tool that's on our website. You can go to it for 10 minutes. You can give it to them. It's a video. There's scriptures there. You can use it. It'll help you explain the gospel. But the fact is, for most of us, God just wants to use that connection that we have with them to bring them to a place where they can be, where the gospel can be explained. Are you with me? Where they can meet someone who can do it. Not everyone has the gift to proclaim the gospel in an eloquent way, but all of us have relationships. All of us have people around us that we need to engage to see Christ work in their lives. See, I think there's a lot of people not coming to Christ because no one's bringing them. Sorry to say that. But the reality is there. If 75% of people who come to Christ come because someone brings them, that means that there's a lot of people out there not coming to Christ. And you know, I'm talking to myself here. I really am. We've got great relationships in our church and people we're talking to. But I'm really stirred because we got to get out of our worlds and get into the lives of those around us and bring them to a place where they can know Jesus. Amen? Who's with me? Can I just tell you, an invitation is not enough. Most of us, including myself, give out invitations. And you know, as I was looking at this message, I was looking at my own stats of the people that invited. And you know what? My invitation success rate is horrific. It's really not that good. I invite people to church. I talk to people quite regularly, invite them to church. But you know what? The reality is the majority just don't come. Who else invites people to church? It's true, isn't it? Like, if you go back, I mean, I'm not a bad inviter. I see people, I've got my press, I'm talking to other people, I'm talking at the moment, I've invited them, and yeah, they make excuses, all sorts of things go on. But the reality is, with invitations, you're quite shocked when they do come. You know, and I've got a friend of mine who's, a guy that we've been talking to about God, and he actually did come here a few weeks ago, and I was, oh, yeah, I'm coming. I'm like, really? that worked. That's amazing. And I should have all this incredible faith and I should just believe it. But I think sometimes when you invite people a lot and you just don't see them turn up, you kind of just think, well, that's where it is. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Just think about that analogy for a second. Does the harvest come in because it's invited? If you go out and harvest a field, the farmer doesn't stand there and go, hey, wheat, there's the barn. I'd really love to see you guys in the barn. Okay? Brilliant. Thanks. I'm going to go to sleep now. And that's great. There's the invitation. But the reality is, the harvest is something that you bring in. And I know it's like simple. And if you're going to labor, I mean, to be honest, an invitation is not really, it's not much of a labor, is it? If someone, I can invite five people a week. I can meet someone and say, hey, you should come to church. You should meet Jesus. Oh, yeah, awesome, great. Yeah, I've got a great church. Here's a card. See, that's fantastic, and that's a beginning point, and that's amazing. But it takes a lot more to sort of say to someone, you know, to engage in a conversation, you know what, I'd love to bring you to church. Really? I'd love for you to come with me, and I'm going to organize a time to bring you, to get you here. You know, we're sitting here quite often waiting for the harvest. Aren't we? There's a harvest out there in our area of people that don't know Christ. There really is. The Word of God says it, we've got to believe it. But maybe we should stop waiting and start bringing. Are you with me? Maybe we should actually put some time into our lives and leave some gaps where we actually start thinking about bringing and who we can bring. See, what's the difference between bringing and inviting? Can I give you some points on that? To invite means to ask hospitably, to ask graciously, to encourage, to entice, to beckon. Beautiful. Quite nice. To invite someone, you get an invite, it's beautiful. You know, if you invite someone to something, it's like, hey, that's amazing, that's fantastic. And it's really quite non-threatening, and it doesn't invade anyone's world, and it doesn't cost you a lot to invite someone. It just, that's what it is. To bring means to fetch, to take, to lead, to carry, to transport, and to usher. Does that sound like some work? Does that sound like work? Does that sound like laboring? To fetch, to go and fetch someone. You drive out of the city, get in there, knock on the door. Hey, you coming? No, I'm not. I've got to wait. Oh, okay. All right, I'll wait 5 minutes. To fetch, to lead someone. You know, leading people is like, come on. Come on. To carry. To transport. To usher. Completely different. It's a completely different intent to inviting. And inviting is soft. It's gracious. You can walk away. You can throw out your invitations and then walk off like seed scattered. I'm just a scatterer of seed, which is, it's just good. It's fantastic, but it's not where it's at. There's a difference in its intensity when we bring someone. So, but the main difference between bringing someone and inviting someone is initiative. See, when you invite someone, you leave the initiative up to them. Hey, you should come to church. How, when, why, if they can. All that is completely left in their world, and it's up to them to think about how they're going to do it and get there and all sorts of things. And you know what? The fact is, the devil focuses in where the initiative is. Have you ever invited someone and then just found out what's happened in their world? If you've invited someone and you've invited them to church or to a place where they could meet Christ, quite often, all hell breaks loose. The kids got sick that night. The car broke down. All sorts of things can go on to create barriers between them actually getting there. Because I actually think the enemy just loves to work in that little bit of an initiative. That's where he likes to get in there. And, you know, they might have a, you know, they might come home and go, well, you know, I was just invited to church. And someone from their family might go, what? All they want is your money. All they want this, they want that. And, oh, no, don't do that. As opposed to, you know, someone's picking me up tomorrow to go to church. That's a bit different, right? They still might ring you and go, oh, I've decided not to, but it's going to be a lot harder to do that than just not turn up. Are you with me? When we decide to take the initiative, the devil kind of gets angry. But we can handle it, right? Seriously? When we take the initiative out of the person's hands and we do the bringing, then, you know, it means that, you know, the enemy is sort of after, you know, maybe you might feel a little bit sick that night, but we know what we're doing. Are you with me? We can pray, we can believe, we can step through. We're mature enough to know that we can get through this. You know, our great thing is just to get them here and to get them over to God. We need to seize the initiative off those that we're inviting by bringing them. There's a story about the paralytic man on a mat. He had four friends. We'll read the story. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. It says, again, he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, I know this guy's paralytic, so in reality, he actually does need to have someone to bring him. All right, I get that. But the fact is, he had people with him. As soon as they got there, the crowd was there. There were so many reasons why that person didn't have to go into that church or be there. But because he had people with him, the initiative was in their minds, and they went, you know what, we're going to crawl up on the roof. And next minute, you know, it'd be like us sitting here, be someone ripping open the roof, but a daylight starts coming through, there'd be stuff falling down all around us, be like, what is going on? And then suddenly, they start lowering this bed down. How cool would that be? We'd be like, what is going on? And Jesus must be just, wow, this is great. And they said, would it come down lower, 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 lower? Right in the middle of the sermon. There's this guy lying in the bed. How cool. And he'd be sitting there and he's lying there right there in the middle and everything and be like, quiet. That takes a lot of initiative, right? That's bringing initiative. It's like, oh, I'll get through this. You know, okay, the door, the place is packed, the place is crowded, this is our friend. We've got to get him to know Jesus. We've got to get him into the house. We've got to get him to meet and be affected by God. And they lower him right down, right smack in the middle, prime position. He's suspended there, hanging like Tom Cruise. And guess what happens? Verse 11. Jesus said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all. And so when they saw it, they were amazed. I'd never seen anything like it. Do you know what? Just maybe if we bring someone, we might have to carry them in here. We might have to limp them in here. But you never know, they might walk out of here whole because of Christ. Are you with me? How many people in this room were And I know, as you know, for me, I was brought up a Christian. How many people in this room were brought into the house of God by someone? Someone brought you to church where you got saved. Raise your hand. Wow. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? There's so many people out there. There's so many people out there that need to be brought to Christ. We can't wait for an event. Jesus is an event. Are you with me? We don't need to wait for an event. Jesus is the event in your life. When you met him, everything changed. When you accepted Christ, your whole world went on to a different axis. Your eternity was assured. You've got answers in his word for every area of your life. Do you know, it's not that hard if you've seen a really good movie to bring someone to one. Isn't it? Or if you've seen a really good show and you just think, man, my friends need to come to this show. This is amazing. I've got to bring some people next time. Or, dare I say it in this church, a football match. Like St. George playing. How many times are you sitting in a St. George match and a Tigers match or whatever, and you're there and you just say, man, I've got to bring someone next time. This is just the best. We're all bringers. When you go to football, do you think about just yourselves? If you go to a good movie or someone, do you think about just yourself? If you go to a show, do you think about just yourselves? If you go to a band, do you think about just yourselves? You don't. You think about bringing someone. But how much greater is it to bring someone into an opportunity where their lives can be absolutely radically changed? Let me just bring it. Let me put it into a different slant. How many of you as children were invited to go to school? Did your parents wake up when you were five and you're standing there in your school uniform and they said, hey, Andrew, would you like to go to school? What would be your response? Nah. No way. No, one of my kids, I can't remember which one, when we took them to school for the first time, you had to separate them from your leg. But, it's like the little queue was going and they're holding onto the leg. Tears in their eyes, and you're all emotional too because you're like, this is good for you. This is good for you. I think it was my Annalise. This is good for you, sweetie. You'll be okay. Can I come home with you? Can I come home with you? And you released them into a line of other kids as they marched off to school, and you're like, as they disappear around the corner, and I did like five waves. It was Aiden. I had to do five waves with Aiden. The little head would pop out. But we go through all of that because we know it's good for them, right? So you bring them to school. How many people get invited to the dentist? No, we bring them there because we know it's important, because we know it's something that they need. And how much more is the house of God? How much more is in a place where they can make a decision for Christ? See, quite often we just leave the choices out there, but in reality, with our friends, we should just be bringing them. We should take it to another step. We need to be released from just being an inviter to a bringer. I can testify, if you get them into this house, we will do an altar call. I promise you that. And I promise you, if you do an altar call, we'll put them into a good new Christians course. Are you with me? We've got a great new Christians course. Great people that really know how to talk to people about Jesus and take them through that. They don't instantly, as they come down here, they don't instantly get, most people do make an emotional decision. Some people make a complete transformation decision at an altar call, but a lot of people, it's a little bit confusing for them, and that's why we put them into a new Christians course where they can answer the questions, and if they go through that, nine times out of 10, they'll stay with God. Luke chapter 14. Go with me if you've got your Bible. Luke chapter 14. Verse 15. It's called the parable of the great supper. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to excuse me.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen.'" I mean, you translate that there's a house that's just been bought. 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. That could be a car, could be a work-related thing. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." And all the men said, "Okay." So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, "Go out quickly to the streets, the lanes, the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you have commanded, and still there is room." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." You know, between the banquet and between the invitation, we see in this something happened. Excuses happened. Reasons happened. Between the invitation and the actual banquet, where they, and we know what the banquet of the supper of the Lamb is a salvation. It's about eternity. It's about us being together at the great banquet of eternity. It's about the end of our lives. It's about the most pointed place of our lives, that we will one day be at a place either in hell or we'll be at this incredible banquet supper with the Lamb. Are you with me? It's the end of our life. Everyone in this room is heading either into that direction or that direction. Everyone out there in our community is heading to this direction, or they're heading into that direction, which is hell. That's just the reality of it. And there were people that had excuses. And the fact is, between the invitation and being at the banquet was an excuse. As you know, maybe what you learn from this is sometimes it's really hard to invite full people, isn't it? When people have got things so much going on in their lives, it's quite hard to invite them. True? You know, they've got so much going down. Or maybe what we need to do is start to invite people that aren't so full, that have needs. This is what they did. The full people, they went, you know, all right, let's not put all our focus on there. We'll do what we can, but let's go after the people that have needs. That is really why we do a lot of what we do. We feed the people out there that are in most need. We get involved with domestic violence and all our counseling and all that out there, because there are people out there with need. We could do with a lot more of us out there on a Thursday doing some bringing, making relationships and bringing people. We could do with that. But the reality is, we do that. We don't just do that. We just don't feed people because we just want to bring them in the house of God. We actually feed them because we want to deal with their practical needs, because the Word of God says that as well. But ultimately, that's why, as a church, we're involved in all that. Are you with me? Because people with need tend to be people that want to come into the house of God more. But I think we need to go that word compelled means that you actually grab someone and you almost drag them. You compel them. You don't give them an opportunity. And that's the last thing that the master said. Go out to the highways, the lanes and the streets, and compel people. And it talks about us as believers going beyond our comfort zones of friendships and getting into a place where we compel people, we bring them into the house of God. We need to bring people in to fill these chairs. Don't you think? Come on. You know, I've been involved with our youth this year, and to be honest, every Friday night it's gone for like 25 people. I think us last Friday we had 65. It's just going from strength to strength. But can I tell you what the difference is? We have got some A-grade bringers. We got one girl, Jessie Harris. It's like sometimes Coral the youth group arrives. She'll come with 10 kids. They just rock up, and they're all there, and they've been coming for 3 weeks now. We had 14 decisions. Why? What's the difference? They are bringers. And we run a bus. We run a bus to bring them here. And I want to start running that bus on Sundays. I really do, but I need some drivers. Because we actually do have some people that cannot get here on a Sunday, and we could do a bus run. And I think it could be the start of filling that thing. And there is just a spirit of bringing. And oh, I'd love to see it merge itself into the church here. Are you with me? Because it's not that hard. If you start to invite people, it's one thing. But if you bring people, that's a different thing. It gets them here. It gets them in the house of God. It sees them come to know Christ. We are out to transform lives, aren't we? Aren't we? I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to bring people. Let's go out of our comfort zones. There are so many people that literally are not here because one of us, including me, please, I could be sitting here looking the same as you are at me. I honestly, I'm saying that repentantly because we haven't brought them here. Are you with me? And that's what it takes. Sometimes it just takes, you know what, I will pick you up. I'll come and get you, and I'll bring you to church. And so can I just quickly, six things that bringing a person does. Number one, bringing shifts the initiative from them to us. Are you with me? You become like a chaperone to them. You can explain what's going on. You could help them when they come in the house of God. Number two, bringing shifts are genuine from the insincere. You're right? When you say to them, hey, come to church, they go, yeah, I'd love to sometime. But if you go, hey, why don't you come to church with me? I'll pick you up Sunday morning. Hold on. This Sunday? Oh, man, I've got something. I've got a project. My sock drawer, it needs, wow, yes, my sock drawer needs reallocating into color codes, and that's what I had planned for Sunday morning, which generally means they weren't interested. Are you with me? They really weren't. They're not really at a point where they want faith in Christ. They're not hungry at all. But when you say you're going to bring them, and they go, you know what, really? You do that for me? Okay, I'll come. I'll be there. Number three, bringing takes all the awkwardness out of coming. Some, you know, you invite someone, and I see them, and we say this to our youth team, and everyone, when they come, they stand at the door, and they walk into the church, and it's like, so, how's this work? Do I stand here? Do I go somewhere? But if you bring them, you bring them straight in, you introduce them to people, you sit them in the place, you take them through. It's our kids, meet up, pastor, meet. These are all our friends. It just takes the awkwardness. Number four, bringing tells the person that they are important to you. More important than inviting. Inviting's easy. Bringing's another level. They're special. Number five, bringing is immediate follow-up. Because when you're taking them home, you're going, how did that go? And they're going, wow, I didn't quite understand it. I couldn't get my head around it. But man, I like that, and I felt this, and you have this immediate talk that sits with someone and gives them the opportunity to see the Word of God planted in their lives. Number six, bringing counters all the things that the person has to deal with, including the devil, when you invite them. You take on that. You take on some of that. You'll probably wake up with a sore throat. I'm not putting it on you, but you might have the car issues you have to deal with. And they won't. bringing people. Luke 10 says that the harvest is great and God's looking for laborers. Are you with me? And do you know what? It's a harvest we've got to bring in. And laborers means we've got to get out of our worlds, we've got to create some time and do this. And why are we bringing them? Well, Luke 14:15 is because there is a great supper. And I don't know about you, but there's more people in my world that I want to be sitting at that table, that great supper in eternity. I want them at my table. Are you with me? I want them. I want to look around and go, oh, hey, you're here. Oh, man, wow, oh, incredible. Are you with me? Instead of just thinking one day, wow, the people that didn't make it because maybe we just didn't bring them. Are you with me? We got Easter. Good Friday. Most things are closed. Easter Sunday, most people think about church in some form on Easter. Whether it's a religious thing, whether it's just once a year, whether it's something they do for their kids. You talk to people and it's like, yeah. We find something on Easter to take our kids to. You know, we respect that. Or you know what I mean? It's just something in their minds. But it is a great opportunity. And I tell you, we're going to present something through our production, through our team, that is going to be quite powerful. It'll be quite amazing. And it's going to be a strong emphasis on seeing whether or not they want to know Christ. And you know what we're going to do after that? We're going to do that. We're going to have an altar call. We've got all the team prepared for that. And then on a Wednesday night, we're going to invite them and their friends to come to a night where we're just going to have like a supper and try and explain to them about the decision that they've done. We'll show a bit of a Christian video, that 10-minute video thing, and we'll just explain and connect with them. I'd love some of you guys to come and help us with that. Are you with me? On the Wednesday after Easter. But this is the time to bring people. So why don't you, I know you've got those cards, but why don't you actually look at those cards and put down some names, these cards to invite them, obviously, but on this card, maybe you could actually bring some people into this place. And maybe it's probably one of the best opportunities in the year is Easter right now, is to bring people. But I wanna emphasize keep this emphasis in our church. I wanna continue to talk about who we're gonna bring. Are you with me? Including myself in this. Got someone in my mind I'm gonna try and work on this week to see if I can bring them to this Easter. God's put them in my heart. So why don't we stand to our feet? Get the band to come up right now.